The 513th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time, your home for the lowest priced last minute tickets. Download the Game Time app today and use promo code SGPN for $20 off. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter our bonus contest. Five winners will receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. And finally, we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Heidi ho, DeGenerinos. Welcome to episode 513 of the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Yeah, it surprises me as well that we've made it this far. Let's send this one out to Mr. Finland. We haven't talked about this man for a little while. We're going to talk about him today, Mr. Finland. I'm, of course, Mr. Kitchener, Jeff Fox, a.k.a. Jeff Chalks Fox. Thank you for coming to the show. This is one of our Monday regional events that people like. We have lots of fans, or at least one. One equals lots in my world, in the Czech Republic. And we're going to cover Czech Republic's their big MMA promotion, Octagon. They have a very big event coming up this coming weekend with some names you may recognize. Not only does it have title fight on it, it has a starting of a million euro, which is even more than $1 million for us North Americans. A million euro lightweight tournament, which has attracted some interesting names to it, not surprisingly. So we're going to get into that very, very soon. And we're going to talk. They also have a very solid title fight at the top of the card. So we have become fans of Octagon, especially lately, especially since we started doing these regional events. And we're bringing a lot of people along. It's a big tank. I mean, we're bringing lots of people underneath it. Octagon should thank us. They should have us as paid ambassadors for them. But I mentioned his name already. It's almost like Beetlejuice. If I mention it a couple more times, he's gonna appear. Gumby is gonna tell us all about this fun fight card, Octagon 54. Hello, Mr. Vreeland, Mr. Regional MMA God.
Yeah. So first, I should quickly recap last week.
He doesn't want to overlook this because
LFA was kind of regrettable because we did five fight breakdowns. Three of those fights fell apart. We wound up just with the two title fights we broke down. I went 1-1 with those.
Who won for you though?
Shannon Clark, the Canadian.
A Canadian gal.
And actually, there was another Canadian gal in the card who looked really damn good too. Who was in? I'm forgetting her name. She beat Hope Chase, and the only reason I remember is because Hope Chase's name's easier to say, and she was like, she had her in some real deep chokes.
It sounds like a fake name, but
yeah. And I've seen her fight before too, so I like already knew who she was. So then to see somebody beat her up, man, I feel really bad that I forgot her name. Anyway, Shannon Clark, the Canadian, took the women's flyweight title, possibly punched her ticket to the UFC or at least contender series as well.
I forgot about this fight. Well, your wife had the best line about this fight.
Yeah, I get in our Discord because there's nice takes in our Discord. Ones that are going to make me blush.
There's a lot of piss takes in the Discord.
And we talked about how the streaming quality was really good. A lot of great takes on Shannon Clark's big victory. And then I missed the main event, which is Devin Smith. Wound up having a much tougher time with the wrestling than I thought he was going to. So 1-1 in LFA, 177. But then on Saturday, we had Bellator versus PFL, and I went 5-5 on Bellator. Yep. PFL, including hitting Yoel Romero as an underdog. And why was Hedin Ferreira an underdog against Ryan
Bader? Yeah, even casual Jeff, when it comes to that stuff, I was like, oh, this is, obviously.
I did no research for that card. I did not go back and watch any film or anything like that.
Look at the stare down. That's all you need to know. Yeah, they're different weight classes.
He looks old. He's a monster. Tired. He took one punch and was like, nah, I'm good. Could you imagine, like, the winner of that is supposed to fight Ngannou now? Yeah. Could you imagine if that was Ngannou instead of Hedin Ferreira? Because not that Hedin Ferreira doesn't hit hard. I'm sure he hits very hard.
Ngannou's the scariest man around, probably.
He doesn't hit like Ngannou does. Ngannou would have put his head into the third row. Anyway, 5-5 there. Left me 6-1 on the weekend, up about, if you had put $100 on all of those money lines, you would have come up over $300 up.
Yeah, Gumby padded his stats because Bellator was pretty easy. Bellator, I shouldn't say Bellator.
Dogs in there.
EFL was pretty. You hit one dog.
Two dogs?
Who's
Yoel Romero? Yoel Romero was a dog.
No, I didn't hear the outcome of that fight. He won that fight?
Yeah, he easily beat Thiago Santos in
was
like
it a scary most, match?
It was the stupidest. It was exactly what you thought it was. You don't have to watch it to know exactly what it was.
Yep, because I could not find the prelims up here in Canada, even though it says it was on TSN. I didn't find them there. And then I'm not going to pay for that crap. I did not pay for the pay-per-view. I can't remember what I was doing instead, but I was not buying that.
Anything but that.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have dedicated it to your wife because she did look quite hydrated. Was such a fantastic fight. She's going to get the name of the episode at the very least. So the fact your wife watches regional MMA with you, first of all. And the fact that she has funny takes on it, that's great. I'm proud to have her as an Instagram friend of mine, I must say.
There you go.
Gumby, not... Well, I guess technically you run your Top Turtle account, right? I guess technically you're my friend.
Yeah, I mostly do that.
Not a surprise. All right, we'll leave that there. We're going to talk about Octagon, right? Octagon 54. Lots on this car. This seems, even to a casual guy like me, this seems like a pretty fun fight card.
Yeah, I'm excited for their tournament. So, you're going to get 7 lightweight fights right in a row here, which we should definitely get cracking on because...
Yes. Want to tell people quickly about the tournament?
Yeah.
The Kip Sport Game Changer.
Yeah, it's a tournament. We don't get a full bracket, I think, just in case they need to switch around who's fighting who.
Oh, okay. So we get, what, 8? No, 7?
There are 8, and there's supposed to... So there's 7 to this time because Lucena fell out of his fight, and they were all like, should we put a replacement fight in his place? But he's like a champion and he's like just signed a huge contract with him. So they're letting him fight his, what would that be? Round of 16 fight, like a month later than everybody else. But yeah, essentially you'll need to win, 4 fights over the course of the year. If you do, you'll win €1 million. They get paid €1 million for the whole thing. So that means
only that's still a lot more than... Yeah. Anybody, even in the UFC,
PFL, that's
like
giving them $1 million.
That's like 1.2, 1.3 million in American money, I think. So,
yeah. So, and they've gotten, there's UFC vets here, KSW vets, there's, like Octagon mainstays. Like, the champ of the lightweight division and Octagon decided to enter the tournament. It's a really sweet kind of format, and it seems like they're going to do one per every weight class every year. At least as long as they're still sponsored by Tip Sport, which is their principal sponsor here for this. So
which is a book, you said, a sports book over there.
It's a sports book. So they got
money then.
Yeah, you would imagine. Yeah. And so this seems like a good one. And I'm excited to break down on these, especially the first 7.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully Octagon keeps the money coming in, but I forgot this is a title sponsored event. This is a Tip Sport Game Changer. Very big. This is more money than actually, I don't know what Octagon pays. They must pay pretty good because they're getting like the Mr. Finlands of the world.
Well, and Lucena Kita was rumored to have a UFC deal on his plate and he chose to stay with Octagon. So
yeah. Yeah. And we're glad for it because it is fun. All right. Let's do the ad reads. I was going to say quickly, but no, the ad reads are important. And then we will get into other ways that you can not just save money, but make money. I'm going to tell you about Game Time first. All these winnings that you're going to get from us, you can shovel some of it over to Game Time. Not too much, though. Game Time has got lowest price guarantees on tickets, and they got last minute deals for you. So it's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You get images of your seat before you buy it, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You buy tickets in a matter of seconds, 2 taps and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Here's what you need to do. If all that sounds good, and why would it not? Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute, tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NBA, NHL, soccer, college basketball, MMA. They got it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Gumby hit yesterday's pick, obviously, right? First Monday night. What's your Underdog pick for today?
So I love when you hype up my picks that haven't even come to fruition yet. But no, so
Monday, come on.
Yeah, so it's Monday. Let's say we're going to take Jalen Brunson's higher than on his points. I'm not sure what they're lining at yet, but they're playing the Pistons. Seems to... I guess he's not super hot right now, but a game against the Pistons will make all right.
he's hot enough to screw up my underdog pick for Saturday night. I had him going under against the Celtics, and he had like 34 points. So,
oh, so that's perfect timing. I got him over.
Exactly. He is hot. Oh yeah, forgot about this. Here's you like free stuff. This is a spot for you. SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give you even more of a bonus. Sign up between now and the end of the month, and five winners will receive Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card, so you can start dressing like Gumby and myself. Who would not want to dress like us? Sign up today using promo code SGPN. Sorry, I'm saying SGPN, but it should be MMA SGPN. We don't want other shows to get credit. We want to get all the credit here. MMA SGPN. And then what you got to do is go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog, D-O-G. Don't spell it like these rapper guys. Spell it D-O-G. And then you can enter the contest for your chance to win. And when you sign up with the promo code MMASGPN, Underdog will also double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy promo code is MMASGPN. All right, we better jump into this card. Gumby's antsy to get you winning picks. Octagon 54, Kinkle versus Wozniak. Wozniak. I suck at Polish names. I've discovered.
And we've done his before too, and I coached you through it. And
Wozniak.
Yeah, right? There you go. You got it. Yeah, Wozniak.
I know, like, I've known Polish people all my life, and I'm butchering names here. All right, Saturday, March the 2nd, 12 p.m. Eastern. That's another good thing. It will be on before UFC. I'm assuming this stellar fight night card in the Apex is going to be later in the afternoon or evening. Ostrovar Arena. How is Ostrovar? Ostrava, Czech Republic. Never been there?
Never been. No?
All right, I'll do some research on it after I tell you about these fights. It's in a cage. It's not like cool, like karate combat where they have like ramps and weird things. But anyhow, it is fun nonetheless. We're going to talk about the tournament first, starting with the bottom one on the card. Not the least, but the bottom one is 3 5-minute rounds, 155 pounds, part of the tournament we just told you about. Hafina Nafuka from Namibia. Why can't I say the country's name?
He's from Germany, isn't he?
he is the Namibian nightmare, though. So
I think that's where his parents are from, but I think he was born in Germany, if I'm not mistaken.
Say the country, Gumby.
Is it Namibia?
Namibia, yes. Have I never said that country before? I may not have ever in my life. Namibia. I assume it's in Africa, correct? A small country in Africa, I assume.
Yeah.
For against Predrag Bogdanovic. That's a type of name I have said before. He is from Serbia. This is opening round of the tournament. I will tell you about Bogdanovic, 15-1. Two knockouts, five submissions. He's been knocked out once, so he's been finished in his one loss. He needs to finish some people himself. This is his debut in Octagon. He won his last fight via submission. Basically, all his fights were in like this Serbian regional promotion, which he was the champion as well. You have seen the odds, right? I can say it.
Yes.
Plus 105. It's a close one. All right. Nafuka, Namibian nightmare. I'm getting better. 8-0, two knockouts, five submissions, 2-0 in Octagon. Both those wins have come via submission. He was a regional champion as well. I assume they have Mantos in Namibia. I guess you say he's German now. Yeah. Used to fight at welterweight -138. There's a weird number. You like the weird ones.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with Nafuka here. I think the biggest piece for me here is what the wrestling looks like on either side. On the feet, Predrag.
It's contagious. I got you.
I was watching golf this morning. Predrag Harrington is on the Mexican Open.
Harrington?
He's in the Mexican Open right now. Anyway, Bogdanovic, he might be a touch better on the feet. He throws like a little bit more in terms of kicks and stuff like that that look a little bit better than Nafuka. Nafuka also keeps his hands kind of far away from his face. But the thing I like about Nafuka is that like he chains his takedowns together very nicely. Sometimes he even shoots from too far away and just like gets a piece of somebody's heel, but then chains it to the legs and pushes him up against the cage and switches from a single to a double. And all that kind of stuff plays really well for him in the wrestling department. Bogdanovic, on the other hand, makes a lot of mistakes in his wrestling. Like, I've seen him win fights with his wrestling, particularly in that, like, Serbian regional scene. But the biggest problem is that you can see the holes that he has, and you can just see the people he's fighting are not exploiting them. Like, he reaches down for a double, and when it fails, first of all, he kind of seems confused about what to do next. Like, he doesn't have an idea. And then his arm creeps up a little high, and it makes it really easy to dig an underhook and to just stuff his takedown entirely. And a lot of the guys in the Serbian regional scene are just not using that. I think against Nafuka, Nafuka is going to take advantage of all of those errors and will probably counter wrestle and take him down himself. So I expect like a lot of top control time for Nafuka here. And I think he's going to win, you know, not that props usually pop up for a lot of these regional ones, but Nafuka by decision kind of seems like an obvious one to me here.
It sounds like a bad word when you say it. I like it. Nafuka. All right. We're moving on. No more Nafuking around. We are talking, basically all these fights are the tournament until we get to the main event. All right. Yeah. 3 5 minute rounds. Akon Wanless. He is from some European place, England, the one and only, the biggest European place. Sahil Siraj. He is from Sweden. Did I say it right? Siraj. Yeah.
Siraj.
Oh, look at me. Look at me. People love when I talk about how I pronounce stuff. So I'm going to keep leaning into that. All right. We're going to talk about Wanless first. His name is Jedi, but he spelled it with a 3 instead of an E. Gumby?
Yeah, it's Thoughts. Great.
It's great. He's 7-2. The editor in me does not like things like that. Anyhow, he's 7-2, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's finished everyone, and he himself has never been finished. So it's kind of up in the air whether he owes his rounds or if he doesn't owe his rounds. 1-0 with 1 no contest in Octagon. The no contest came in his last fight. We have a lot of people who had no contest in their last fight coming up. I think there's 3 or 4 on this card.
This was a heavy kick to the groin, if I'm not mistaken.
A heavy kick to the groin, which is the worst kind of kick to the groin, let me tell you. Before that, he was 3-0. Is not lost since September 2020. Sorry, he won 3 straight before that, I meant. Was regional champion 2-1 in Bellator, so he's fought in Bellator. I was going to say a high level, but he's fought in Bellator. Anyhow, Bellator really got their stank all over PFL this past weekend, did they not? I know we stopped talking about that already, but boy, everything. I guess PFL already had a bunch of weird things happening to him and going wrong, but yeah, it's going to be even worse now that Bellator is part of their organization. Anyhow,
yeah,
Gumby just agrees. There's not much else to say there.
It's stanky.
Yep. Wallace, 3 inches height, 3 inches reach, 3 years younger than Siraj. Triple threes on the slot machine. I don't know if that wins anything. Plus 110. Siraj, 9-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once. This is his debut in Octagon. He's won 2 straight and 4 or 5. All of the wins have, or actually even the loss in those 5 fights, have come via knockout or TKO. Kill or be killed. Minus 150.
I'm going to go with Wanless here as a slight dog. He'll be my first dog of the night. I like Wanless here for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think he's a touch faster than Siraj, and I think this fight is mostly going to take place on the feet. Siraj has got some pretty good takedown defense in the fights I was watching, but Wanless doesn't really strike me as the type of person who's going to put any out there, because both of them really, I think, prefer to strike. I kind of hate this matchmaking because these are 2 really exciting strikers who I think if you had pitted them against other people would both have easily won their fights and moved on. And instead you're going to sacrifice one. But I think Siraj is the one who's going to be sacrificed because, like I said, maybe his best trait as a striker is that he can stuff the takedowns and he throws a really nice left kick to the body. But Wanless does the one thing that seems to be Siraj's biggest issue, and that's as he moves forward. Siraj is really good when he's moving forward and he can let that kick go over time and let it rack up damage on his opponent and tire his opponent out. But when somebody pressures him, he sort of just succumbs to that pressure and then becomes kind of hittable. And, you know, as you mentioned, Wanless has won every single one of his fights pretty much by knockout recently. And when you count in the fact that he also has a little bit of a chin, I think Wanless has got better power, and I think Wanless here backs him up and then winds up landing something big against the cage. So I'm going to go with the slight dog here, Wanless. And again, yeah, not that I usually am prop heavy on these regional cards, but Wanless by knockout is probably the method we're looking for here too.
All right. So J3 Die is your pick.
Yeah, J3 Die.
I refuse to call you a Jedi. You spell it wrong. All right. Moving on in the tournament, Mohamed Grabinski from Germany versus Akoidan Duque,
yeah,
from Spain. Gumby was kind of surprised. I didn't totally butcher it. Maybe a little disappointed as well. Grabinski, 23-9, 13 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. 1-2 in Octagon. He's lost 2 straight and only won 1 of his last 4. He's lucky he's in this tournament. Did lose via submission in his last 2 fights. He's fight at welterweight, was regional champion, 0-1 the Ultimate Fighter. Who do you lose to, Gumby? Let's see how well you know
Ultimate Which Fighter. One, Grabinski?
Yes.
He fought. He was on the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
I don't remember that even at all. I'll put the intern on it. You keep going.
No, I'm
going
to tell you. Oh. I'm going to tell you because I have it right on my screen. Martin Svensson. Tough 22. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, was that
McGregor Faber
versus Faber? Yeah. It was, so that was probably a fight to... fight to get into the house, probably maybe. There against
not my beer excuse, right?
Yeah, European ones. He never, yeah, it was the fight to get in the house.
Your wife would know. You should have called a friend. She would have had an answer for you. Yeah. I'd like to use my call my friend. Grabinski, 2 inches taller, 5 years younger than Duque, plus 110. Duque, LPEI. Maybe he's from Prince Edward Island, not Spain. Perhaps?
I think probably not.
No, all right. 19-4, 3 knockouts, 11 submissions. PEI is nice. He's been knocked out twice. This is his debut in Octagon. He's won 2 straight, and he's got 3-1 and 1-0 contest over his last 5. 1-0 in Bellator, 1-0 in PFL. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight, so he's been way up there. He's been 30 pounds heavier weight class-wise. 2009 pro MMA debut, minus 150.
I'm kind of surprised Duque is not a much larger favorite. By the way, this is the fight they should have broken up to get Wanless and Siraj both a win, because they both beat both of these guys. I'm going to go with Duque. I think he's being undervalued here. Grabinski, I watched his last fight, and my biggest issue with this guy is that he won't fight you until he can smell your breath. He's going to get he's going to get inches away from the guy's face before he's going to throw any punches. And then weirdly, he can't really figure out that range because nobody can punch from being that close to somebody. But like, he keeps trying to get close and close and close and fight in a phone booth. And the problem is here as against Duque is Duque has shown that he's a pretty good takedown artist. Like he's pretty good at shooting takedowns. So if you're going to get that close to him, he's just going to clinch you up and take you down. I watched his PFL fight. He got in on a single leg, switched it to a double leg, and then turned it into like one of those body locks where you push down on the lower part of the back and they fall over. So it was like almost like an inside trip. So like Duque has got a whole bunch of takedowns in his game. Grabinski has looked bad lately. And again, I don't trust him from striking range. It doesn't seem like he has any understanding of it. So yeah, I'm going to go with Duque here. I think you could probably even, you could play him probably into the 200s, and the fact that it's only negative 150 is awesome.
Well, we'll see if it stays there. Once the gens in the Discord hear your pick, they move lines, especially that root vegetable guy, turnip. That he's always moving lines. That fellow. All right, let's get one more. No, I'm going to tell you about, I don't want to forget about our good friends here at, I already forgot who it was. Hall of Fame Bets, it says on my screen, and that's who I got to tell you about. Can't forget them. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season, not NFL. Football's over, technically. I'm sure all you Americans are talking about it still, but it's over. NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets. The sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Entering your parlay ID into Hall of Fame Bets, revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use a code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right. Shall we move on now?
We should.
We're going to stay with this tournament. Matthias Lagierski from Poland, I believe, and I didn't butcher the name, versus Matos Kahut. Kahut?
I think you're right. Yeah, you said
Kahut. Yes.
You're doing great. Trust yourself.
Listen to you. I'm doing great. I was at a concert the other day and a woman kept yelling at the singer. You're doing good. Great job. This is really awkward. Someone's got to kick her out. No, good job. Like, whoa. Okay.
You sound great.
Yeah. You sound great. Kahoot, the mighty rooster. Do your kids play Kahoot, Gumby? Is Kahoot a thing in the States?
I think it is.
I think they play it too young at this point.
I think they play it at schools, but probably not at my kids' age.
Yeah. All right. Kahoot, the mighty rooster, 9-6 with 4 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted 3 times, 7-3 in Octagon. Loss, win over his last 4, 5-2 over his last 7. That sounds a lot better, does it not? Used to fight at welterweight. I didn't miss his Gumby. You probably thought you were going to get me on this one. He lost to Mr. Lagierski via submission July of 2022. I always try to search on Tapology before I even start the research for a fight. I search the other fighter's name, but Gumby still sneaks some by me in these rematches. 2-2 as a pro Muay Thai fighter, 1-1 as a kickboxer, 2 inches taller than Lagierski, plus 200. Dynamite minus the E for Lagierski. Maybe that's how they spell it in Poland.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Dynamite. All right. There you go. He's 10-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. That's not too dynamite. He should be knocking people out if he wants to be dynamite. He's been knocked out once. 7-0 in Octagon, used to be the welterweight champion of the world. That is dynamite. the Octagon welterweight champion of the world. He's won three straight fights. He's not lost since December 2021. One knows a pro kickboxer, 4 years younger than Cahoot, minus 275.
So yeah, this is a rematch. So that's why you're seeing the number there. And really, I don't see anything different. I watched a couple of the recent fights to be like, has anything changed? And it hasn't. If you go back and you watch that fight from a year and a half ago, Ligierski, way better on the ground, way better grappling. And the problem with Cahoot is, as you mentioned, he's a guy who comes from a Muay Thai background and as a result gets into a lot of clinches, throws a lot of knees. And so like he just kept getting in a clinch with Ligierski. And when the guy has got that much of a wrestling advantage, particularly with like trips and upper body locks, which is what you like to do when you're into Muay Thai, you wind up just in a whole bunch of bad situations. So Ligierski taking him down, beating him up, submission skills. I mean, the fact that you got a guy who's a striker against a guy with some really solid submission skills. Yeah, like I see no reason to go different here. I'm going to take Ligierski even at the inflated number.
All right, there you go. And all right, Ligierski is the pick. Okay. Where are we going to now, Gumby? The singer I was just speaking of getting yelled at actually just texted me, so he must have heard me talking about him somehow, right?
Doing a good job.
I'm calling. I'm making everyone. Yeah, good job, good job. All right, we've got a few more tournament fights left. Vladimir Lengal from Czech Republic. No surprise there. Daniel Torres from Austria. That we don't see Austria one very much, but he's actually Brazilian, I think. He fights out of Austria. I think that's the way it is.
Or at least
his family's from Brazil. Daniel Torres. Lengal, Vlado is the nickname. 6-3 with 6 knockouts. He finishes everyone. He's been submitted once. He owes his rounds. 3-3 in Octagon. He's won 6 straight. And then lost his last fight. I put 6-0, lost last fight. That doesn't make sense. Now, does it? He couldn't. I guess that's the case. He won 6 and then lost his last fight. Is that what I'm trying to say? What kind of research is this, Gumby? Yes, that's what happened. He won 6 straight fights and then he lost his last fight. Okay. Get off my back, people, please. To someone named Bark.
Samuel Bark.
You fight at welterweight. 12-0 as a boxer and a champion there. 1-1 as kickboxer. 1-1 as a Muay Thai artist, plus 300. Tucano is Torres's nickname. What does that mean? I'm guessing Toucan, but I couldn't find it. Gumby.
So, yeah, I would say that was my first guess too, but I also know that there's ethnicity or a ethnic group in Brazil that is Tucano. So I think it's that. I think it's after his like heritage.
All right, there you go. 14-5, Gumby knows. Sometimes he comes through with the nicknames. It's been a while, but you're coming through now for me, Gumby. Yeah. 14-5, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. This is his debut. Not gone. No contest in his last fight. Like I told you, that's the name of the game today.
Do you know why this one was?
A stiff kick to the crotch? No.
No, he was part of the large influx of fighters in PFL getting popped for steroids.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So he failed a drug test or his opponent failed a drug test?
He failed
a drug test. So put everything on this man. I'm sure Octagon doesn't really do drug
tests. I don't know what their drug testing is like, but he's probably happy to be here versus PFL.
Exactly. All right. Before that, he had won 2 straight fights. He has not lost since November 2021. He had won no contest in PFL, as Gumby said. I shouldn't be really picking things off my screen, should I? People see my big finger in their face if they're watching YouTube. Used to fight at featherweight. KSW champion. So he's a pretty high-level guy. 2012 pro MMA debut. 0-1 in Kun Khmer. Do you know what that is, Gumby?
Yeah, it's a type of...
You do know?
I want to say Chinese. I think it's like a type of Chinese kickboxing. It's pretty much just Muay Thai, if we're being completely honest.
I think it translates to free fighting. So, yeah. Or free boxing or something like that. So Yeah.
It's basically Muay Thai.
Yeah. 5 years younger than Lengal. Minus 450.
Yeah, and I'm going to take a big dog stab here on Lengal. I think a couple of things come into play. The positive steroid test does come into play for me, even if he's back on the juice or whatever, because they don't want, they don't care. It did mean time away from MMA. And then he used that time to go fight in Kun Khmer and got brutally knocked out in that fight. So I know that fight went down as a knockout and you'd see that and you go, I wonder what that looked like. Cause it's, you know, sometimes you see the Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather knockouts in boxing and stuff like that. Yeah. No, he got flatlined. He got really badly knocked out. And that fight wasn't that long ago either. You know, we're talking about a pretty quick turnaround from a brutal knockout like that. And he's going to be fighting a guy who's you know, maybe not get the best knockout power on the feet, but is like, can hit you on the feet. Torres too, you know, you mentioned he was the KSW champ. He beat Parnes, and he beat Parnes just basically by like winging big arm punches, and one of them happened to land. And then he got a rematch, and he got like obliterated in the rematch because he just throws like big arm punches and has, you know, he's got big KO power, but he's like throws big arm punches. So I like the more technical Lengal here to do little things correctly, stay away from it, possibly touch a guy whose chin has already been rattled a little bit recently. I know he didn't look fantastic against Bark, but I think he might even be able to grapple him a little bit here too. So yeah, I think Lengal is probably, as far as like a big underdog on this card, probably one of the more fun ones you can play.
All right. You're doing great, Gumby, by the way. Good job.
Thanks.
Keep it up. Great work. All right. Here's a fight. It's part of a lightweight tournament. Have you heard that before? Makwan Amirkhani. You may have heard that name before. The aforementioned Mr. Finland. You're Mr. Western Massachusetts. Is that true? Western?
Struggling today, man. Yeah.
It's almost like we already recorded a podcast and now I'm running out of steam. You are the Western part of Massachusetts, not to gaslight you here.
Correct. Yes.
And that's what you won the beauty contest in, right?
Yes, correct. I'm Mr. Western Massachusetts.
All right, next, he's fighting not Muhammad, Mokhamed, M-O-C, Hamid, Makhayev. He is from, there's lots of different, Austria again. Wow, a lot of Austrians. And of course, Mr. Finland is from
Finland.
Yeah, there you go. All right, the beast, Makhayev, is who we're going to talk about first. 13-1 with one no contest, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. This is his debut in Octagon. He got no contest in his last fight. Gumby, do you have a story about that one?
I don't. Not off the top of my head.
He's won 3 straight fights before that. Has not lost. Excuse me if you heard me burp there. He's not lost since August of 2021. You're thinking you're listening to the hockey podcast with a bunch of burps. Used to fight at featherweight. 11 years younger than Amirkhani, plus 105. Yes, Mr. Finland has aged before our eyes. Remember when he was a thing, Gumby?
Yeah, he was a big thing for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Good personality. Kind of a, why am I blanking on his name? Let's just move on. If I can't remember the name, it makes no, he reminds me of someone. And if it, you know, if I can't remember his name, then it doesn't make a difference who he reminds me of, does it?
Nope. It does not.
Used to be the champ in Bellator, was in the UFC for a long time. Middleweight, always looks like he's just got out of bed. Kind of looks like Mr. Finland.
Middleweight?
Lost to King Mo.
I don't have the slightest clue.
Really?
King Mo is a light heavyweight.
Yeah. He used to fight a light heavyweight, middleweight. He gets light on top of by wrestlers and would lose. And then other fights, he would look like he's going to like be the king of the world.
I'll put the intern on it. So you
famous fighter. He's famous. I'll look it up. Anyhow. Yeah. Type everything I said into Google, please. Mr. Finland, 17-9, one knockout, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. This is his debut. The money, the $1 million euro brought him to the dance here. 7-7 in the UFC. He's gone 0-2 and 1-5 over his last 6. 0-2 over his last 2, obviously. Last 3 losses have come via finish. Oh, he's been finished, excuse me, in 3 straight losses. He's fight at featherweight and bantamweight. 2010 pro MMA debut. Wrestling champion multiple times over. 3 inches taller than Makhayev, minus 138.
Were you thinking of Gegard Mousasi?
Yes. Why couldn't I think of him? One of my faves back in the day. I kind of get those vibes from Amirkhani. He's kind of got the same kind of dry humor and type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I went to Gegard Mousasi versus Jacare headlined fight card one time in Connecticut. It was pretty sick.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm thinking Makhwan Amirkhani here. I think this is lined probably appropriately. I expected him to be a big favorite just on name value, but the books seem to have gotten it right because Makhayev is like a big, powerful wrestler. I think the big downfall for that, though, is that if you look at his fight in UAE Warriors, which he had a pretty high-level fight there, he got countered in the jiu-jitsu pretty quickly, like either swept or, you know, anytime he tried to change positions, he gave up positions instead. And, like, against Amirkhani, a guy who's pretty damn good at scrambling and good at grabbing submissions, you don't really want to be a wrestler with sloppy jiu-jitsu. So like I could see a world where Amir Khani maybe doesn't come in as motivated and he's kind of aging and just gets laid on for 15 minutes. But more likely, I think Makhachev is going to make a mistake. Amir Khani is going to capitalize on it and pick up a win here. So I'm going to go with Amir Khani. And again, I don't think the line is exorbitant, but it is closer than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, okay. Cool. You thought Amir Khani would be a bigger favorite.
Yeah, I thought just on name value alone. Like you would think that would be a reason for him to be a big fave.
Get in on it then, is what he's saying. All right. So you think he's still got some gas left in the tank, or at least at this level he does?
I just think, you know, like later in this tournament, there are guys who will either stuff his takedowns and force him to box and stuff like that. Yeah. But he might be a better boxer than Makhachev. He's kind of limited on the feet.
Yeah. All right. Co-main event and the last fight of the opening round of the tournament. Ronald Paradiser from the Slovak Republic, excuse me. And he's fighting Attila Korkmaz from Germany. And once again, 3 5-minute rounds at 155 pounds. Korkmaz, the fearless, 14-7, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted once. This is his PFL, I want to say. Nope, Octagon debut. 2 straight wins, 3 of his last 4. Both of his last 2 wins have come via finish. 1-1 in Bellator. Used to fight at featherweight. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. First time I've said that all episode. 2010 was his pro MMA debut, +240. Paradiser, Ronnie is the nickname. What a great nickname. 18-8, 11 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 5 times, 12-4 in Octagon, and is the current champion of this weight class. He's won 5 straight fights and 7 of 8. 4 straight wins have come via finish. He used to fight at welterweight, 2014 pro MMA debut. 6 years younger than Korkmaz, 6 inches of reach. -350.
There's not really much to break down here. I'm going with Paradiser. He's the champ for a reason. I think they set him up with a nice first fight. Korkmaz here, low gas tank, you know, tires really quickly. Doesn't put combinations together really well. When he is on his back, he doesn't seem to have any interest in getting up. He's just comfortable there and is going to throw up submissions. Paradiser has got incredible cardio, as we've seen in his title fight. And the thing I like best about him as the lightweight champ is just how he puts combinations together. He puts together really nice 2, 3, 4 punch combos here. He's going to back Korkmaz up and just finish him with a bunch of blasts. Probably 2 to the body and 1 to the head, and it's going to put him out. Give me
2 to the body and 1 to the head.
Yeah, there you go. Paradiser is definitely the play here.
How is that for a breakdown? He told you exactly how it's going to happen. It better, if it happens, Gumby, save this clip, everybody.
Yeah, everybody, bookmark this one.
Yeah, bookmark this one for sure.
Oh, also, they both fought the same guy, too, MMA math style here. They both fought this British guy, Andrew Fisher, and Paradiser just absolutely beat the hell out of him, and Korkmaz lost to him. So MMA math dictates that you have to pick Paradiser.
Of course, of course. All right, now we got a 5 5-minute round. It is not a light heavyweight. It is at middleweight, and it's for the Octagon Middleweight Championship. They could have just run this card just with this tournament, but no. They're giving you a title fight, too. Patrick Kinkel, the champion from Czech Republic, I believe, right? Yes. All the flags are very similar. Piotr Wozniak. See, I had it, kind of had it at the starting of the show. Now I don't again, Gumby. He's from Poland.
Wozniak.
See, it's not that hard, Jeff. It's not that hard. Wozniak, 12-5, 8 knockouts. He's been submitted twice. 1-0 knocks gone. He's the interim champion. He's won 5 straight fights, 3 straight via knockout or TKO. He's not lost since October 2019. Was regional champion. Used to fight at welterweight, 2011 pro MMA debut, 2 years younger than Kinkel, +163. Kinkel is the inspector, 27-10, 13 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 3-0 in Octagon. He is the current champion at middleweight, and he's successfully defended his title once. This is a regional promotion whose champs actually stick around. It's not like LFA, where they immediately go to the UFC. He's won 3 straight and 8 of 9. He's not lost since September 2021. He's fought at welterweight, 2007 pro MMA debut. He's an OG. He's got an inch of reach over Wozniak. See, I lost it already. Wozniak.
Yeah.
-225. People are pulling their hair out at me.
So, okay, so Kinsel was supposed to fight Vlastro Seppo for the title, and that's when Rizniak stepped in because Kinsel couldn't make that fight. I believe he was injured on it. And then Rizniak kind of shocked everybody. I picked Rizniak in that fight, and I'm going to pick him again here in the unification. The first thing I really like about it is he looked really great with the takedowns and his work up against the cage against Vlastro Seppo, which granted, Seppo definitely worse at defending takedowns than Kinsel, but like, Rizniak did a really good job, and that was on crazy short notice. That was like stepping in. Nobody thought he had any chance. I want to say he was like a plus 200 dog or something in that fight. Stepped in, his wrestling took over, easily handed Vlastro Seppo, dealt with the striking really well. And now he's going to get a full training camp. And yes, Kinsel is definitely better. But if you looked at Kinsel's last fight where he fought, now the name's escaping me. He fought the dude who was in the UFC for a million fights.
See, it's contagious, Darko, isn't it, Gumby?
Darko Stojcic? Nope.
Yeah, no. Carlos Vamola?
Carlos Vamola, same thing. Carlos Vamola. He fought Carlos Vamola and beat Vamola by like picking him apart on the feet. But he spent, they don't have stats, right? We don't have fight metric for Octagon. Yeah. But if they had stats for it, my guess is the control time for Vamola in that fight would have been, I would guess 13 or 14 minutes. Like, he just pressed Kinsel up against the cage time and time and time and time again. And yes, Kinsel didn't get taken down in that fight, but that was a tired, aging Carlos Vamola, not a like young, spry, fantastic takedown artist in Piotr Rizniak. So I think Rizniak is probably going to control a lot of this fight against the cage. And I would not be surprised if he scores some of these takedowns to win himself some of the rounds. So I'm going to go with a dog swing to end this one with Rizniak.
All right. Gotta like it. We better get out of here before my dumbness rubs off even more on Gumby. All right. Rizniak is his pal. I'll recap all the picks. Rizniak, Paradeezer, Amir Khani, Lengal, another big underdog until the guy steamed the line. Ligurski, Duque, Wanless, Nafuka. Right?
That's it.
People, you did not get robbed today, did you? We did not cheat you. 41 minutes on Octagon. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Gave you 8 picks. He gave you a couple underdogs. We told you all about this fight card, so you're ready. How are we going to watch this again? You can watch it through their website, right?
Yeah, they have a pay-per-view option on their website. I think it's like $10.
Oh, there you go. It's definitely worth it for that, for sure. All right. We're going to get out of here. Like I said before, Gumby gets even more dumber than I'm making him as it is. Check us out on the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Check us out on the Twitter, SGPNMMA, Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland. They're the handles. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram as well. Check out my Substack. Enter my Pick'em contest that's up and running right now for this week's UFC at moneymma.substack.com. Listen to Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast. It's always a good listen. And this week, do you want to give away who you have on this week, or you don't want to wait till later on? Okay.
Yeah, I got Ayman Zahabi, who's fighting at UFC Vegas 87. And then I also got Arjun Buller, who's fighting on 1FC 166 this weekend.
Two Canadians. You should have me on as a co-host if your co-host doesn't show up. Okay, great. Ayman Zahabi, such a nice Canadian that he shared articles where I picked against him. And thank me for it and stuff like that. So there you go. That's how good he is. Maybe he didn't read it, but we'll just pretend he's very nice instead. Obviously, the mothership is sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Also, you can go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store/Patreon. All right. I can't talk anymore. Gumby, please.
All right. I'm Danny Gumby Vreeland. He's Jeff Ronnie Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.